A high-tech escape room, FaceSpace's motion tracking system, and the best last-minute gifts. Live from the Twitch studios in Petaluma, California, it's the new Screensavers!
Yeah! Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
The new Screensavers is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans, introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/NSS. And by Audible. Start a 30-day trial and your first audiobook is free. Visit audible.com/twit or text twit to 500-500. And by Hopsy. The Nespresso, or Keurig, if you will, for beer. And just for the holidays, visit tryhopsy.com/twit and use the promo code TWIT to get the Sub Home Draft System. Two mini kegs of beer, two Hopsy glasses, and a free membership in the monthly beer club, all for only $99. Terms and conditions apply. Saturday, December 22nd, 2018. I am Leo Laporte.
And I may be Patrick Norton.
It's the old Screensaver. I'm the new one, you're the old one.
Oh. Is that how it's going to be?
No. Hey, Patrick, it's great to have you.
We got
a great show today.
This is fun.
We are going to do some mocap. Phase Space is here. Robert Jager Slaughter is going to show us a unique motion picture, a motion tracking system. It's the kind that they use in movies. And games, but you could do this for entertainment, and we have decided
to
take two of our studio audience members, Jonathan and Melinda from Long Island, and put them in the uniform. You're going to do it too, and you're going to be space troopers, and you're going to save the world.
Can young love survive a battle in space? The answer may surprise you.
Now, can I say who's sitting behind them? Because we have a celebrity in the audience.
Absolutely.
Is that okay? Visiting us right now, you may remember him from 6 months old, 6 years
old.
He is now 11 years old, Seamus Norton. Yeah, Seamus. His little brother Tristan's out driving my Tesla. He may not come back. No, there's good news, Patrick. It's only about 200 miles on the battery.
Good.
I think you can find him in Pinole.
Have you met my children? My children went to fire and knife camp. They're fun.
I love your boys. They are adorable. Oh, there he goes. Bye-bye, Tristan. Bye-bye. There's no brakes, Tristan!
That's okay.
Oh,
he doesn't
God.
Really use brakes.
Coming up on today's show.
Thrusters on full.
Oh, yeah, the VR thing. That'll be fun. I mentioned that.
Holiday gift shopping. If you're looking around and realizing there's somebody important on your list that you haven't shopped for, you're so...
I can't say that on a family-friendly show.
We have some options, some last-minute places, some idea where you might find a little treat for your geeky friends.
But will they know it was a last-minute choice?
Will they care?
No.
Is it better than groveling and apologizing with a gift card under the tree?
I'm Mr. Gift Card.
Do you want to talk about...
I went to CVS on Christmas Eve, and all I could get was this crappy gift card.
Here's a sack of limes and some pre-boiled eggs. Merry Christmas.
Last year, I gave Patrick a $100 Blockbuster gift card. I bet you haven't even finished using it.
No, I couldn't drive to Kansas to the last remaining Blockbuster.
The Twit crew and I had a lot of fun a few months ago. We did an escape. Have you ever done an escape room? Escape rooms are awesome. We did you don't like the idea?
No. I've been locked up. Haven't drank since. I ain't going to any locking room without the key again.
It's a sci-fi escape room. It's just in San Francisco.
Really?
A great way to do team bonding. Anyway, we'll show you. But we've actually had to run this by the team several times because we don't want any spoilers, because if you get stuck in this room, we don't want you to have any help getting out. But let's put it this way. Can I tell them it's a nuclear power plant about to explode? Can I tell them that? And I'll tell you one other thing. I'll tell you.
I'll tell you when it happens. No secrets, but we will talk to their co-founders, Mike Chen and Karina Bordas. It's really cool.
They closing 6 months early after the pivotal plot points have been portrayed on, quote, the screen savers.
They left
unquote.
The startup life, and they said, we want to do something really fun and enjoyable. Yes. They're both kind of geeks, do-it-yourself guys, so they made this amazing
They just want to end it on their terms, not because there's been spoilers. Don't make them rebuild the machine.
There will be, Mike and Karina, no spoilers on this show. Just to say it was really fun.
I'm going to try to keep him from spoiling
okay.
it. We have questions to answer.
Oh, yeah. There's actually a caller from deep within a salt mine in Tennessee. He's armed. I'm warning you. We'll be good. We'll be good. But first,
I'm armed.
Hot topics. You think I'm joking? It's his varmint gun. It's okay. It's okay.
You don't have a varmint gun?
I don't have a varmint gun. Lisa,
have a varmint gun.
Lisa won't let me get a varmint gun.
We should fix that.
I wanted to get a shotgun. You tell me. I wanted to get a shotgun. First barrel's loaded with salt.
Uh-huh.
Second barrel with shot.
And after you've shot the second one, I'm going to take your ass out.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what Lisa said.
Well, we have modern pump gun technology. We'll talk about that on a new show starting up
Lisa
on the Twit Network.
They're going to take it from you and just
beat
shoot
your ass with
beat
it.
Beat your ass with it.
And so speaking of eating your ass beaten, Facebook just, as if it's like 2018...
Man.
Has been the hold my beer year for Facebook and privacy. You thought that was bad. Hold my beer. And something worse comes up.
Well, what's weird is that the New York Times had a story this week about yet another privacy hold, Facebook's API, which was used by the big guys, including, ironically, the New York Times, to get information about you. Now, one of them was Spotify, and you said that you didn't like the idea of Spotify reading your private messages.
Well, that was one of the articles I read basically said that, for amongst other examples, Spotify had access to your private messages.
Yeah.
Why?
Because...
you can't keep a straight face.
There's a good reason. Because Facebook explained this. If you wanted, there's a whole post on Facebook explaining this. If you wanted in your messaging,
right,
Facebook messaging, to say what music you were listening to on Spotify, they had to be able to exchange information. And so that's why they gave Spotify that permission.
So it was just a permission to post or the actual ability to access all of your private messages?
Well, this is the problem with all of these things. It's hard to make it more granular. So they didn't. Right. So you.
It would take some work to secure your privacy. It just takes money out of Mark's pocket. How can we have nice hospitals in California if Mark isn't worth $1 trillion?
He's
really?
Doing.
Is that what they said?
Basically.
It would take work
to do it
right.
They mentioned the hospitals. But no, it's true. You even see this. You don't want to make permissions too granular because then you have users going, yes, 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 no, yes, no. So what you do is you say, for instance, you see this on your smartphone.
So I'm overreacting, essentially.
No, I don't think you are.
Okay.
I think you're exactly right. But let me explain why they do this. You see this on your smartphone that app will say, we need permission to read, send, and access SMSs on your behalf.
Which
really
would be great if it wasn't a flashlight application. That was my personal favorite app, because there was one particular flashlight application that basically it didn't root your phone, but it gave you access to everything it could possibly any application ever could have access to.
So
on Spotify.
Clearly that can be misused.
Right.
But there are times, for instance, if you sign up for WhatsApp, it sends you a text message to verify your number, and what it wants to do is be able to read that text message, send it and read it, and then say, okay, you're verified without you going through a lot of rigmarole.
Mm-hmm.
So it asks for all those permissions. Will it use them again later down the road? Well, it's Facebook. Who knows? This is the problem, right? They get these permissions.
Facebook doesn't even know. And if they do know, they're probably not going to be honest about it until the subpoenas and the emails come out.
So Facebook's explanation is people could message their friends about what they were listening to on Spotify or watching on Netflix. They could share folders on Dropbox, get receipts from money transfers to the Royal Bank of Canada. And in fact, you gave them permission to do that because... But here's the part of the problem was, even after Facebook turned that feature off, which they did several years ago, they neglected to turn off the APIs. So the ability to do that was there and remained there until this article in the New York Times came out. So they had to do all this. They say it was part of the functionality of Spotify and Netflix. Their big mistake was not being more clear about it. He says, or I'm saying he, like Mark Zuckerberg, wrote this, probably not, some lawyer wrote it. These partnerships were agreed via extensive negotiations and documentation detailing how they would use the API, what data they could and couldn't access. So, unfortunately, you were informed, they were informed, but we forgot to turn off the API. So it's off now.
So it's a relatively...
But it's just an endless... By the way, I'm not on Facebook anymore. I don't use WhatsApp. I don't use Instagram. Right. For this reason, I feel like
you're
it's unsavory. No.
I had a friend of mine who's like a huge Instagram guy, and he's like, you're not on Instagram? What are you, is it 19th century? And I'm like, dude, lighten up.
I was on all of those.
Yes.
I think I have to be one of the few people on Twitter with a 600,000 followers who turned it off, right? But I just don't want to be part of that ecosystem anymore. And I don't... You know, if you publish something on Facebook, it's probably prudent to assume that everybody and their brother has it.
Right.
But I just don't want to give them any of my valuable information, so I'm done with them.
Okay.
But you're right. We should bring this up. They have an excuse, but it's just yet another example of them.
It's curious to watch as social media becomes more... Facebook, it's been a rough year for Facebook. And Facebook continues to keep making
money. You're still on
money.
Facebook, right?
Kind of. I mean, you know, as somebody who shows up on Facebook every 3 months and, like, sends a couple responses to people from high school or something, yes, yeah. I'm on Facebook.
Here's a better question. Will you let Seamus and Tristan get on Facebook when they're 13?
You know, I have a really good friend of mine who was, you know, has always been a bit of a curmudgeon, a little older than his age, and he was railing about the millennials and their instant snaps and their snap books and generally mangling all the names of the services. And I just looked at him, I said, let's be honest, if you had a phone with 24-hour access to your peer group, and the level of sort of, you know, the level of intimacy that people get off of Snapchat or Facebook or whatever, I'm like, you'd still be in prison or somebody's dad would have shot you. And he's like, yes, that's absolutely true. Will we eventually let him on social media services? We'll probably have to at some point. I'm hoping if we keep them off long enough, they'll all stop being popular. But,
yeah.
You know,
I wonder how much longer this form of social media will continue. I feel like kids his age are not going to be interested.
Well, Facebook is for, like, us.
It's for us. It's our age and grandpa.
Yeah.
Which I practically am.
Practically. That doesn't mean, Henry, you should not...
Do not procreate, is what he's saying.
Take your time. Parenting will be there when you're older.
I'm excited. This week, Elon Musk announced he just invented the subway. Only more expensive, slower, more dangerous, and you have to have a Tesla.
There's a wonderful article on The Verge by a writer who rode in, like, the first...
He noted it was quite bumpy. Did he also note that you can only do it if you have a specially designed Tesla with sideways wheels? Did he also note it's one person at a time traveling at a top speed of 49 miles an hour?
First of all, I believe it was Elizabeth Lepato
who
took the ride.
I should say.
Second of all, this is like
look
a one-mile test. Well, look at those. Look at the concrete work in there. The wheels, according to Elon, it's going to be any electric vehicle with autonomous driving capability.
And special sideways wheels.
He will sell those that you can, I guess, bolt onto the frame or something like that.
So wouldn't it be better just to build a subway under L.A.?
You mean something that will take care of lots of people and bring us back to mass transit that functions in a large way? That would be like investing in infrastructure.
It's funny because Elon said, I don't want to go on the subway. There's too many people on it.
Yeah.
So he's invented basically a billionaire's subway that you ride alone in your car, specially equipped.
Well, given all the, as things that billionaires, I mean, I don't really like to harp too much on Elon.
You have to have a special elevator to take your specially equipped.
Just for the, you know. I think it's going to be a little more sophisticated when they get beyond
this is
pilot
the prototype.
Tunnel phase.
Yeah. I agree. But it does require an elevator. It is a little bumpy. Now, that maybe they can smooth out. And there's no emergency exits.
That's moving pretty fast.
49 miles an hour top speed. It looks fast. 49 miles an hour.
In Los Angeles, 49 miles an hour may as well be 300 miles an hour.
One car at a time.
Well, when all the
and if, by the way, your Tesla were to burst into flames, not that they ever do, but if it were... There's no way out. There's no emergency exits. You'd have to get another Tesla behind you to push you out.
I feel, and we're going to use feeling words in the group today, I feel that this is probably not what it will look like when they finish engineers engineering. You know.
Yeah, I'll give him credit. Look, I drive a Tesla.
Pretty sure the guy running the Boring Company is an ex-NASA engineer. And again, remember when everybody was laughing about SpaceX?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you watched? How many times have you watched the rocket land on the barge? Like 11,000 times?
No, it's pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. Yeah. So, you know, I would, yes, Elon, it would be cool if you did something that was maybe scaled better than one guy in a $100,000 car at a time or gal.
I love the slide tunnel. Elon showed. Why tunnels? Weatherproof.
Okay.
Apparently, Elon's never ridden the subway.
He might want to talk to some people in New York City. Because I saw the path
either
tunnel
it's
I used to.
Or, oh, God.
Pumps, Elon. Pumps. Pumps are cool. And, water, you know, global warming, seas rising, pumps are the next thing. Plastics. Pumps.
Idiots with drones. Shut down Gatwick, the number two airport in England. It's the second airport for London after Heathrow. For 36 hours, causing thousands of people to either miss flights or completely be stranded.
Hope you like prison.
They arrested a man and a woman. They said they knew what they were doing, but they weren't terrorists.
They were just, I can't say that word on this show.
It was just jerky jerks.
Yes.
This is, of course, a problem. Now, one thing that we've done in the U.S. that they haven't done yet in England, we have a registry, and you're supposed to register your drone with the FAA.
That's pretty much done with.
What, we don't do that anymore?
Not so much.
I got my drone. I registered it. Yes. I was like, good. And then I left it in the Caribbean by accident. So if anybody finds it, my FAA registration's on it.
Yes, I'm sure they'll return it.
England doesn't do that, but they say they're going to start doing that now that we've stopped.
Okay.
We stopped?
It's a long story.
That's not good.
I'll explain when you're older.
Don't they have, like, anti-drone missiles or something? I mean, don't they have measures that they can use?
Why don't, real quick, pull up Gatwick Airport, and let's see what's around Gatwick Airport and whether or not we want to be shooting missiles there. Plus, the plane people, the pilots, they tend to get super
uptight.
They don't
like missiles.
Yeah, they're not...
Jamming technology?
Also
what
tends
about,
to be problematic
what
for
about
planes.
That where you train seagulls to bring to carry nets and drop them over the drones? What about that?
You know, I feel that's going to be in The Incredibles 3.
Anyway.
And, you know, this comes back to one of those, like, basic life lessons. Don't be a
Don't
jerk.
Be a jerk.
But somebody thought it would be really cool.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
They're going to jail. By the way... Well, at least they're in jail right now. If they get convicted, they're facing up to life in prison.
Oops.
So it's pretty serious. So don't do it, kids.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up, we're going to meet with Robert Jager Slaughter of Phase Space. This is actually... Do you want to do this?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to strap Patrick in and Jonathan Melinda, our guinea pig couple. Congratulations. You're our winners this week. Try out their Impulse X2 motion tracking system. I hear it's quite fun.
You look nervous when you say that.
I'm going to stay here and watch. But right now, a word from our sponsor, Rocket Mortgage. We love Rocket Mortgage. Has been a great sponsor all year long. I want to thank them for their support. Rocket Mortgage, of course, is Quicken Loans, number one lender in the country. And I mean number one lender in a couple of ways. First of all, 9 years in a row, number one in customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. 9 years running. I'm sure they'll get it for 19 or 2019 as well, because they are just awesome. But you know what happens if you're number one in customer satisfaction? Your customers tell their friends, they repeat, and you become the number one lender in volume. And they've now become the number one lender in volume as well, beating out that big bank. That's who we got our home loan from 5 years ago. Oh, man, it was a nightmare. You go to the bank, you get dressed up because you want to show them you got money. You don't need their money, but just for fun, let's borrow some. You look real prosperous. Then they give you like this big application. They say, fill this out, kid. And you fill it out and you have to go to the attic and get pay stubs and check statements from previous years and all that stuff. And you're faxing it in and it takes weeks and then it takes more weeks. And it took us, we applied for a loan in August. I remember this. It was August 2013. We got the house October 2013 because we were waiting all that time for the big bank to crack those whips and get those horses going. Meanwhile, from in the future, it'll be Rocket Mortgage at Quicken Loans. It's entirely online. No more going to the bank. It's an application. It's barely a few questions you answer yourself without any researcher. You know your name, address, birth date, and social. You know that. They will then go out and tell you which loans you qualify for. You choose the rate, the term, the down payment. Now you've got pre-qualified approval, and that is within 10 minutes in most cases. Step two, Quicken Loans, without any effort on your part, I like this, because they've got trusted relationships with all the financial institutions. They'll go out and verify income, assets, and credit, and within 24 hours give you verified approval. You are now basically a cash buyer. You can print. They get a button on the app. You do this on your phone. There's a button on your app that says print letter, and the letter you give to your realtor or, better yet, the seller that says they got the loan. They're good for it. There's not a contingency on this. Put these people at the head of the line. And I tell you, I've been buying houses since I was a young'un, and I've lost a couple of houses to a cash buyer. The ability to get right at the front of the line with no contingencies is huge. But then the best part, once you're verified, you qualify for their all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. And the nice thing about this is they will lock your rate up for about 90 days. Now, the Fed just raised rates a couple of days ago. That means interest rates on home loans are also going up. You don't want to feel the pressure as you're shopping for that perfect home for your family. You don't want to feel the pressure that, oh, we got to buy this one because we don't have time because the rates are going to go up and it's going to cost us thousands more. No, you don't have to worry about that. You have up to 3 months to shop and your rate is locked. It cannot go up. It could go down. If rates happen to go down, it could go down. Either way, you win. This is why Rocket Mortgage is number one, I'm telling you. To get started, it's simple. Go to rocketmortgage.com/NSS. rocketmortgage.com/NSS. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions and exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. You know where to go, rocketmortgage.com/NSS. Thank you, Rocket Mortgage, for being such a great supporter of the new Screensavers all year long. rocketmortgage.com/NSS. All right, we've sent Patrick into space because he is about to play a game in Phase Space. Joining me right now, Robert Jaeger Slaughter from Phase Space. This is the Impulse X2 motion tracking system. Hi, Robert. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
So what are we looking at here? These guys are going to play a space game?
Yes. So one of our customers named Motion Technology, they're from South Korea.
Yeah.
They created a virtual reality video game out of our tracking system. And it's a four-person game with 3D printed backpacks, haptic vests,
oh,
and 3D printed and haptic rifles.
But this isn't specifically the Phase Space system. This is an example of how you would use the Phase Space system to create a virtual reality game, for instance. So what is unique about Phase Space? You have how many cameras around these guys right now?
Right now there's 24 cameras around.
I have an Oculus Rift, which has one camera, a Vive. It has not even cameras, two motion sensing units. This is very different. These are actual cameras?
No, they're not actual cameras.
What
because
are they?
They're not, they don't have video detectors in them. They have two linear detectors. Each linear detector has 3,600 pixels, and so it gets a 3,600 by 3,600 pixel resolution.
Holy cow.
And so
that's a pretty high res picture.
Right. So,
and it's seeing the red LEDs on their headsets and their guns. That's what it's tracking.
Each one of those red LEDs is oscillating its frequency at a unique pattern. So each one of them has its own ID.
Oh, neat.
So no marker is going to get swapped by another marker because there's a lot of other systems that use reflective markers. And if you get two reflective markers too close to each other, they could send the same signal back and then you ruin your game or ruin whatever 3D character you're trying to design.
We've seen motion capture.
Right now he's trying to walk over a platform.
Don't fall, Patrick! Seamus, go push him. Go. Whoa! Is it scary? Is it realistic?
Yes.
So we've seen motion capture before. It's used in the NBA 2K, for instance, to capture basketball players. It's used in movies, the new Spider-Man. There's mocap in the new Spider-Man.
Right.
So they'll capture even in Gollum in the Lord of the Rings. Andy Serkis wearing a motion capture outfit. Mm-hmm. They were capturing his movements and then using CGI to translate that into a character. But this is real time, and it's not for purposes of capture so much as a game.
So we have been used as motion capture before. Ted, the movie Ted with the
teddy bear. Yeah.
We worked on that movie. Also, The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. We did the motion capture for that movie
as kidding.
Well. Yeah. But since our system can actually give you the raw data immediately, within 3 milliseconds, it can also be used for real-time virtual reality video games. So,
and is this a higher resolution experience than, say, your Oculus Rift would be? It looks like they're wearing Oculus Rift.
They are wearing Oculus Rifts, but we have turned off the Oculus tracking, and we're using our own tracking. We are using the IMU inside the Oculus, but we're using our own tracking. We've turned off the Oculus tracking. The Oculus tracking only does, I think, about 30 frames a second, while we're tracking at 960 frames a second.
And you're doing 6 degrees of freedom, which means you can move in 6 different ways, pitch, yaw, forward, backward,
up and down. Right.
And so that's a that's real. That's every motion, that's every degree of freedom that you would have in real life. So what you're essentially doing is feeding the Oculus software with better information than Oculus itself.
Better tracking information, yes, and better graphics.
What a great application. So this application obviously is for an amusement arcade.
Right.
Could you put this in a home?
We couldn't put this system in a home, but right now we are trying to develop a home system that you could potentially put one camera in each corner. Put one camera in each corner of your living room if you have a big enough living room.
What are they shooting, by the way?
They're shooting robots that are attacking them. Wait until the big mechs come out, and they'll be really intimidated. It's really
so they're
great.
Space Marines. They're in the Nostromo, and they've got to defend it against these incoming robots. It looks like they're doing a pretty good job, I got to say.
They are doing a pretty good job.
Are you having fun, Melinda? Is this fun? She's busy.
I don't think they can hear you because the Oculus is...
It's pretty loud. So they're also in an oral experience as well as a visual experience.
Right.
Wow. This looks like a lot of fun. Now, is this less expensive than, say, the studio-style motion capture? I mean...
In terms of cost, I would say it's probably equals. The studio cameras.
But what's the advantage? It's higher resolution.
Way higher resolution, way higher speed. You're going to get the tracking information in such low latency that no one's going to be able to notice it.
I get a little queasy when I use Oculus Rift or Vive. That's because of the higher latency and the lower frame rate and the lower resolution.
Right, and that choppy feeling you get when you move your head too fast or you move too fast. That's exactly what makes people nauseous, is when your movements don't match up with what you're seeing in your eyes.
This is 960 frames a second. Yeah. It's not using all 960, but it has that available to it.
I'm sure the game is not using all 960, no. But
it could.
Our server is sending the game.
Holy
the rigid
cow.
The rigid
super
data,
high resolution frame 960 rate.
960 frames a second, yes.
Less than 3 milliseconds latency. That is amazing. And how hard is this to set up? I'm kind of blown away that you actually set this up in an hour. You came over here with a couple of boxes, and this is
with
working
tripods,
in our studio.
It's very easy to set up because we daisy chain all of our cameras. There is not a cord going from every camera to the server. We only have one cord going from camera to camera to camera, just like Christmas tree lights. And so in that way, it's a lot easier and it's a lot faster to set up than
so
most other motion capture systems.
Is it SDI you're sending serial digital interface stuff, or is it some proprietary
interface?
We
can... the hardware is proprietary. It's our hardware. Right. But we can send the rigid body data in any format that you want.
Or Ethernet or what?
The cameras are powered by Ethernet. So there's an Ethernet cord going
PoE.
From camera to camera.
Okay.
PoE.
Okay.
So the data and the power is going through the Ethernet
That's pretty
cords.
Cool.
Yeah.
That really simplifies the setup.
Because we're using linear detectors and not video detectors, we're actually getting a lot less data every time we take a snapshot of every 960 frames a second. And so that's a lot less data going through that pipeline and a lot less data that the server has to, compile at the end of the line.
FaceSpace does a lot of interesting stuff. I know you've worked with the police departments and other groups. You've been around for a while?
FaceSpace has been around for about 20 years.
That's a long time.
I've been working there for about 2 years.
FaceSpace
has been around.
But FaceSpace in general.
FaceSpace, yeah.
And this motion capture, is this the center core of its business these days?
When it started, motion capture was absolutely the center core of the business. Most of its customers were buying the system to create their own motion capture studios.
Right.
Since it's so precise and so fast, a lot of robotics companies have bought it and a lot of biomechanic companies who do like gait analysis and things like that.
Oh, interesting.
Have purchased it. USC, University of Michigan, NASA has bought a couple of ours.
Really?
Google, the Toyota, Toyota and Honda technology centers have bought. So anybody, Carnegie Mellon, which is apparently the world's biggest robotics institution, has bought several of our systems.
Oh, this is really interesting.
And those have been the core of our customers for about the past 10 years. And now we're really getting into virtual reality because our system is already set up, really. We didn't even have to change anything for our system. It's already set up
perfectly for virtual reality. This was kind of a resolution of data that was needed for motion pictures and in a situation where you could do it in post-production, so you could take all that data, you could create something. But now you've got it to the point where you could actually do it in real time with existing consumer-grade VR equipment. That's pretty exciting. Are you talking to Oculus? Are you talking to Vive about making this part of what they offer?
Well, yesterday I just went to Google.
Nice.
We've had presentations at Facebook for Oculus.
Nice.
And next year we hope to have presentations with Intel, who has chips in almost every headset these days, the Lenovos and the Acers and all of them. And so what we're trying to do is create a set. Since we normally don't create any hardware outside of our tracking system, we are trying to create a turnkey system that you can sell to an LBE and has the headset and the tracking system and the backpack all tied in. One big...
This is a hot category, these are basically virtual reality amusement parks. I love this. It's so much fun. And this could really make it possible for a lot more of these.
I went to Dubai, the United Arabs, and they have the world's biggest virtual reality arcade, and they use our tracking system there. Yeah.
That's neat.
Starbreeze used our tracking system for the StarVR headsets, and I got to go to Dubai and check out all the crazy VR games there.
What fun.
It's about four stories tall. It was pretty intense.
How you guys doing? Are you winning?
No.
Hey, I really want to thank you, Robert Jaeger-Slaughter. He's with Phase Space, phasespace.com. Infinite possibilities. And can you just leave this here for a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
We'll take good care of it.
I'll be back in January.
Okay, good. That looks like a lot of fun. All right. Still not done with your holiday gift buying. Patrick has your back coming up in just a bit. But first, a word from Audible. Did you win?
No.
Patrick, was it fun?
Yes.
Patrick, you look like a natural. He looks like a space marine out there. That's good. Sounds like fun. Our show today brought to you by Audible, as it has been for, I think, more than a decade. Audible's been a sponsor of our shows. I've been an Audible subscriber, I just realized, for 18 years. Practically since, in fact, I think it probably is when Audible started, back in the year 2000 or 2001. There was when Audible, you had to have a special device, the Otis, and you had to buy it, and you could download the books, and it was like, oh man, this is a revelation. I had a 2-hour commute each way to Tech TV, and I could listen to great books, literature, entertaining, fiction, radio, all sorts of stuff on Audible. Audible's only gotten bigger and better, and of course now you can listen to Audible on everything. I listen to Audible on my phone. I listen to Audible on my Sonos speakers, on my Amazon Echoes. I'm always, if you don't mind the phrase, reading Audible books. I have more than 500 books in my library, and I get more every week. In fact, the 22nd's an important day for me. That's the day I get my Audible credit. And I get to pick a new Audible book. So I'm trying to decide. There's a new book called Alien Covenant Origins, the prequel to the Alien book. That might be kind of fun. Michelle Obama's Becoming. It's a big bestseller at audible.com. There's books in every area. I like nonfiction. I just started listening to this. This was an Audible original. I should tell you about Audible originals. They're creating a lot of their own content. And every month, as an Audible member, you get two new Audible originals. So I just got this one, Jingle Bell Pop, How to Make a Holiday Hit. This is the 200th anniversary. 200th anniversary of Silent Night. And they tell the story of that. It was written in 1818. And in most countries, it's only in Austria, where it's from, it's only allowed to be played on Christmas Eve.
Really?
Yeah, not in malls all year long. But that's what I learned. So you learn stuff. I just finished a great novel, Patrick Melrose. What?
My boy's obsessed with Harry Potter audiobooks.
Oh, you like Jim Dale reading those? Oh, man, he does Hagrid. Harry, you're a wizard, Harry! He does such a good job. Isn't it great? Audible. It's great, I think, for young people. There's research that says kids who listen to audiobooks read more fluidly and more quickly actual books. It's a great way. You, in fact, if you want, you get the Harry Potter books with the Audible books, or if you have an Amazon Kindle, you can have it read along so they can see the words as they're listening to them. Ooh. It's a really great, yeah. I'll give you my Kindle. I never use it. You can have it. Audible. You know what? I try to read, and my eyes, I'm too old or whatever, but I just listen all the time.
I got reading glasses. Amazing the difference.
I did that, but you know what? Maybe I'm spoiled. Audible has spoiled me. I have to listen. The thing is, I don't have a long commute anymore, but I don't just listen in the car. I listen while I'm doing dishes. I listen while I'm taking a walk. Mm-hmm. I listen while I'm playing Pokemon Go. Honest to God, it's a great thing to do while you're walking around catching Pokemon. Every month, Audible members get a credit good for any audiobook, regardless of price. That's the new thing. And now members, as I mentioned, get two Audible originals from a changing selection, and they're exclusive to Audible. You can't get them anywhere else. Christmas Eve 1914, it's a dramatization of an amazing event that actually happened in 1914 when soldiers from both sides got together, exchanged gifts, sang Christmas carols together. This would be a great one to play on your Christmas Eve. And the nice thing about Audible books, you get them immediately. You don't. There's no waiting. You say, I want this book. You download it. You're listening right away. So many great books to listen to.
It's another, awesome.
I just love Audible. I'm a huge Audible fan. I want you to... this is interesting. Influenza. The 100... See, what I do is I alternate fiction with nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm listening to Dr. Yuval Noah Harari's 21 Lessons for the 21st Century. It's fascinating. Highly recommend it for anybody who wants to think about what the future of AI and genetic modification is going to mean for the world we're growing up in. The world.
Better hair.
Yes. That's what Patrick thinks of. Yeah. Better hair. For Seamus, don't worry. It's your mother's hair that you inherited, not his. Audible.com/twit. Audible.com/twit. You can get signed up. If you've not tried Audible, there's some new things you can do. Send books. Share from your library with anybody. If it's their first time accepting a book through this feature, they can listen for free. You can also, if you've just heard, and I do this all the time, I'm listening to Dr. Harari, and I say, oh, this is amazing. I can send a clip from the book to somebody else. You can listen faster or slower. I know a lot of people listen to podcasts faster. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you're listening to a book, maybe you want to listen a little slower. Narration is at the speed you choose. And you, whenever you're listening, even though I listen on many devices, it picks up where you left off. So I'm listening in my car, get out of the car, go into the house, turn it on in the Sonos, it picks up at the place I left off. I love that. No bookmarking necessary. It knows where you are. I use Audible for lots of things. You will too. Start a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free at audible.com/twit. Or if you want to put it on your phone, just text TWIT, T-W-I-T, to 500-500, and they'll send you a link, audible.com/twit, or text TWIT to 500-500. Get that first audiobook free. We love Audible. Thank you, Audible. Happy Christmas. Speaking of Christmas, time for one last holiday gift guide. And when I say last, I mean last because Tuesday's Christmas!
Really?
Tuesday! Tuesday! What am I going to do? So Patrick is the king of last-minute shopping.
I'm not the king of last-minute shopping.
Are you done?
I have one thing to pick up.
Yeah, me too. One thing, but there are many of us who are not as well prepared.
I wouldn't say I'm well prepared, but okay. So if you haven't been following along, or if you haven't seen your postal carrier, your UPS drivers, pretty much everybody that delivers packages right now is getting it's bad.
Oh, it's crazy.
I mean, bad.
It's crazy. I talked to my mail lady today because I went out to give her our card and gift. And she said, yeah, I'm slammed. I'm working 12 hours delivering.
They're doing, multiple runs.
Yep.
It's probably, there's a chance you may live close enough to the warehouse. Amazon may have it in stock. Amazon may even tell you they'll get it to you in time. But it's probably time to get your elbow pads and your helmet your mouth guard.
I have to go to a brick-and-mortar
store. Remember brick-and-mortar stores? I still go to brick-and-mortar stores regularly, so I do not have the panic attack that you're having right now.
There's people there. Lots of them.
Well, here's the thing. Is it better to go out in the unwashed masses with people like me, or would you rather have that printed-out gift card or that box of lint you scraped from under
physical.
The... Here, honey, it's a fire-starting system I made for you. It's crafty, like Etsy. It's dryer lint and a pack of matches from that place we stayed at in Barbados.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember that year. I'm sorry.
Yeah, stayed at my house for a month. It was great. You use a lot of hot water in the mornings.
I gotta get clean.
Okay.
It's just a thing.
Clean. That's what we're calling it now. Yeah. So Costco is actually open, like I want to say, till like 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve.
Are they really?
They are. And I bring that
I
up.
I can get a giant bag of Doritos.
You can get a giant.
It's good.
You can get
honey,
alcohol,
I'm giving
champagne.
You tortilla chips.
They have
champagne.
Champagne. They have
champagne
fantastic
and
deals
yeah.
on wine. They have
actually,
liquor.
The liquor selection is very good at Costco.
Not yeah, I can't buy it for me, but I can buy it yeah. for other people.
No.
But yeah, the liquor section, they have televisions. They have electronics.
I'm not giving
they
you
have,
a TV. You
I'm not
ask.
Asking you to give me a TV.
Okay.
I wouldn't know where to put the TV. I have a projection screen that I'm going to have trouble with.
Yeah.
But that's one of the options out there. Like, I wouldn't want to be in a major retail store, although I had a lovely evening once in IKEA on Christmas Eve because they were open until like 8 and somebody.
But then you have to assemble it, dude.
You know what was crazy?
What?
There was no, it was me and like 8,000 IKEA employees and like one other person
and
in the store.
And a bunch of flat packs.
It was great.
It's like shopping at Sears.
Yeah, except
very
that there was
quiet.
Actually stuff there. That was cruel, but accurate. But, okay, so Home Depot.
Home
tools.
Depot. Tools.
Toys.
Tools are good.
A lot of, basically Internet of Things. I mean, it also depends on who you're buying for, right? Like, I'm probably not going to buy you a thermostat for Christmas.
But the beauty of going to these really good stores is mm-hmm. their return policies are excellent, especially the big yeah. box stores. So if it's not something that suits, it doesn't matter. Somebody can bring it back, and there's plenty to choose from. I traded in the big bag of tortillas
right.
for a 5-pack of deodorant. Great deal, I
yes.
thought.
Yes, yeah. for not just for you, but the gift that keeps on giving for everyone around you on Christmas. Cards Against Humanity available at Target.
Ooh,
they usually have like a
highly recommend.
They usually have like a what looks like a pallet load of Cards Against Humanity and Exploding Kittens, which is the oatmeal game. Board games available,
but both of those are for people with strong stomachs. How would you put this? People with open minds. Don't give this to grandma.
Depends on your grandma,
I guess.
It really depends on your grandma.
I guess. My mom
grandma
would love
likes
it.
A little, maybe perhaps some lewd humor, a little blue humor.
It's a little blue.
It's a little blue,
and it's also a little like
rude.
Rude,
yeah,
yeah.
Perhaps even vile.
Yeah,
we're both fans.
Somebody's suggesting Harbor Freight. Are they still around?
Harbor Freight is amazing because Harbor Freight's kind of like Amazon. Because one of the things you find out from Harbor Freight or from Amazon is that a lot of manufacturers get their stuff
extras.
Built in the same delete expletive place in
yes.
China.
Yes.
And not that I don't like paying a brand name. Free.
I'm sorry. The Harbor Freight just launched an ad on the website. It's a giant magnetic slim bar folding work light.
Wow.
See, I would give that to you. You can never have too many work lights.
I'm sure you can't. I use headlamps usually. Yeah, Harbor Freight. I mean, if you
good
have
choice.
Someone who's really hands-on and geeky or, you know. And,
but
of course, there's always gift certificates or gift cards.
I'm not hands-on, right?
Right.
But if you gave me.
I'm not buying you a welding system
if you
for
gave
Christmas.
Me an 18-gauge, 12-in-1 air nail stapler, yeah. I would feel so honored. Like, you thought that I would use that I would feel like, dude. You really know me.
And then I can come over and borrow it?
Yeah, you can borrow it. Give them tools you want. That's the rule. Give them tools you want.
I'm actually a big fan of gift subscriptions. People who love music, give them Spotify, give them Tidal, give them a gift certificate, Spotify or Tidal. It's tough, though, right? Because the other thing you find out is inventory, I feel like, is better managed these days. So the stores are more likely to be bordering on staggeringly empty by
yeah.
Christmas Eve.
Just in time or just sold out in time.
Just sold out in time
yeah.
delivery.
Yeah.
But yeah, I will say, if you have music lovers in your life, give them a Spotify gift certificate.
If you look back to previous episodes, Patrick's headphones recommendations, mm-hmm. you cannot go wrong. We gave headphones to Michael, 16-year-old.
Right.
He's going to want headphones, right?
Yeah.
And his own, because first of all, they go through them. But it's nice to have a pair that, you know, is new and fresh.
It is.
One year we gave him the ones with the cat ears that light up. I think Seamus wants those this year.
Seamus always loves the cat ears.
Okay. Anyway, it's not too late.
It's not too late. But yeah. start this weekend rather than on Tuesday if you can avoid
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough on Tuesday.
All right. We're going to go motherboard shopping.
I like this.
We have a survivalist deep in his cave, his man cave. With dual miniature Doberman pinschers.
He's not a survivalist. You've never lived in the country where you actually had animals to protect.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
Thing, but they're cute. They're really cute. Anyway, we're going to answer his questions about building a EMP-proof motherboard.
Well, no, he's a ham radio enthusiast. He's looking for a motherboard that's not going to get trashed.
He mentioned EMPs, electromagnetic pulse. He mentioned that.
EMI.
Oh, EMI.
Yeah, big
or EMF. Not EMPs. I thought he said EMPs. That's the thing you get when you explode an atomic bomb and everything goes,
EMI.
Oh, that's
like
different.
I can hear the taxi radios when I'm trying
to
record.
I'm sorry, David.
I
misunderstood. All right. We're going to do that in just a second, but I have to show you this.
Uh-oh.
Now, Patrick, this is not for you. This is for me. This is definitely not for Seamus, and definitely not. But this is, if you love beer, this is Hopsy. It is the most amazing gift for the holiday season. Let me open it up. This is pressurized, okay? This is the Hopsy Sub. Don't laugh. Inside, I've got beer, and I'm going to take it out to show you how easy it is to put in a new case
of
beer.
Does it make beer?
No, it doesn't make beer. It just serves it. And it serves it deliciously.
Micro keg?
It's a micro keg. Let me show you the another one here. So they have subscriptions to a variety of ales made all over the country. This is Hitters Park Citra IPA, a nice citrusy IPA.
Wait. Is this like a beer of the month club?
Yes, four beers of the month, actually, to be specific. You get each one of these is about a six pack, so you get about 4 6 packs a month. That's just right. It's very easy to put them into the Hopsy. Device. What are we drinking today? Oh, this is a Czech Pilsner. I opened this the other day. I love this. So it goes into the Hopsy Sub. You can put these in your fridge, right? They're about the size of a liter bottle of Coke, something like that, right? You put it's a six pack. You put it in there. Inside the top, this is all you need is this little nozzle. You put the nozzle in here. I'll show you. It's very simple. You close it up. Now, you close the sub.
I'm trying so hard not to scream out, set it and forget it.
I'm gonna use this.
Is it pressurizing now?
Yeah, it has to, because that's how it doesn't, you know, it's
or
like
is it
a keg, but
sealing.
Yeah, no, it's pressurizing. So it pressurizes so that once this is done, once the light goes green, and it also refrigerates it, so it keeps it cold. It'll last in here about a week if you manage to keep it for a week. Probably me, it'd be like a night. But once it's pressurized, it's basically beer on tap, an amazing craft beer. I'm just gonna give myself a little bit of this because I don't want
to. You may not be able to travel to every amazing craft brewery in the country, but they can come to you.
Patrick, it's as if you wrote the ad copy. It's fabulous. And there's nothing like fresh draft beer. I want you to take a look at this. It's called Hopsy. If you go to tryhopsy.com/twit, they've got a really good offer for you. You know what? This would be a good last-minute gift for the beer lover in your family. Get the Sub Home Draft System. That's the device I just showed you.
Well, that's a deal.
I know. Two mini kegs of delicious beer and two Hopsy glasses so you don't have to drink out of a jelly jar like I'm doing.
What's wrong with drinking out of jelly jars?
Is this the only thing we could come up with? Only $99. Only $99. That's $140 savings. And then you get a free membership in their monthly beer club. You'll start by selecting your holiday package. So you'll see on the Hopsy website there's a variety like best sellers, favorite beers from best breweries. There's also the IPA and pale ales. If you're an IPA fan, you're going to love this. And then easy drinkers. These are maybe more summertimey, but it's like think of it as summer on tap.
So
lagers to Kolsch's to Pilsners. And then every month you're going to get four mini kegs as part of your, and you choose them as part of your monthly subscription.
So you get them subscription to Hopsy. You tuck that
Hopsky's
into a six pack, and you put it under the tree.
Exactly. This would be a great last minute
gift. They got something for now and something for the rest of the year.
For the rest of the year, each mini keg stays fresh for about 30 days outside of the Sub home draft system, and about I said a week, 2 weeks inside the Sub. I never got it to last more than four nights, but that's okay. Now's the perfect time to treat yourself or a friend to Hopsy as a great gift. You saw how easy it was. And, man, when people come over and you've got your own tap and you say, well, what should we have today, boys, the Hitters Park Citra IPA, or maybe you want to do a Czech Kolsch, people just flip their lids. They say, what? No, I'm not kidding. And it's going to be fresh, and it's going to be delicious, and it's going to be just as if you got this from the brewery. Hopsy. Here's how you do it. Tryhopsy.com/twit. Remember, when you use a promo code TWIT, you get the Sub home draft system, as seen right here. You can't have mine. I'm keeping it. Two mini kegs of beer. That's about 2 6 packs. And two Hopsy glasses plus a free membership in the beer club for a total of $99. A perfect Christmas gift. But terms and conditions apply. Shipping's free, too, by the way. Did you see that? $239.99 is the normal price. You're saving a lot of money. This is a very special holiday sale. I want you to do this right now. Tryhopsy.com/twit and use the promo code TWIT for the special $99 holiday deal. And it is, by the way, it is delicious. I love it. But see, that's why I only poured myself a couple of fingers.
Don't worry, there's more in there.
I know. I'm taking it home, and then we'll play for it. All right, it's time for Call for Help. We go now. We take you now to Deer Lodge, Tennessee, where David and his miniature pinchers. Oh, look at them! They fell asleep.
Yeah, you bored them to death.
I love that. Where'd you get that screensavers cap, David?
This was from ZDNet.
Wow. Way back in the day.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, I got one thing I want to show you.
Yes, sir.
You ready? I still got mine.
Oh! Don't show off.
but
it's a nice head of hair, too, I got to say. That's a good-looking head of hair, David.
Y'all mentioned something I have to put out for people with pets for Christmas.
Okay.
This is called a chip scanner. Your pet, if it ever gets lost, cannot speak for itself. And every one of my dogs are microchipped. Some people might call it the mark of the beast, but they are all beastly marked.
All of our pets are always chipped. We have two cats. Actually, our neighbors stole the third one. And they said, we called the chip people, and they said you'd given the cat up. We knew it wasn't. We said, that's our cat. It's chipped. Right. And then our dog, Ozzy, was chipped. Oh, I believe in 100%. Yeah. Now, you don't need to own the scanner unless you're
No. I'm a breeder, so I...
I see. Do you breed those miniature pinchers?
Right. You can see the ribbons on the wall out of focus.
Can I buy one from you?
You can. Can I do a shameless plug?
Please. Oh, they are so cute. Are they good dogs?
Well, it depends on how you raise them, how you train them.
Of course. That's true of all dogs. Yeah.
It's littletruckerkennel.com.
Little Trucker Kennel. Is it L-I-L or L-I-T-T-L-E?
L-I-T-T-L-E. Okay. But anyway, let's get to the important stuff. Because well, I'm
get that shipped out in time for Christmas?
No, I don't. I do not ship unescorted dogs.
No, of course not. We would have to come to Tennessee and pick them up.
Well, unless you want to pay me 56 cents a mile to bring it out there.
Would you bring it in a truck?
I used to drive a truck, but I was 450 pounds at that time.
Yikes.
Yeah, I've had surgery. But good. Anyway.
Did you get the bariatric surgery?
I had the sleeve.
The sleeve? And has that worked for you? At him. He ain't 400 pounds now. It looks great.
I mean, I got some loose skin here, but...
Yeah, that's going to happen. But that's good. Hey, good for you. Congratulations, David.
But as you can see, I have... well, ever since y'all first started TV, I was into tech.
David, anyway. We appreciate it. And you're a ham, I understand. What's your call sign?
WCTV.
W6TWT 73. Yep. Hello, my friend.
Yep. Whiskey Charlie 2 Victor.
I'm Whiskey 6 Tango Whiskey Tango. Nice to meet you.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You see that transmitter you got behind Patrick back
yes,
there?
Yes, sir. That's a nice AM transmitter right there.
I'm trying to build a computer that will withstand the RF. You know, when you do that, there's RF everywhere.
You bet.
So I'm trying to get something that's robust enough to not restart and give me a blue screen every time I key the mic.
Well, it goes the other way too, right? Because the computers these days are RF transmitters. When we've got processors in the megahertz, now gigahertz, they're putting off a considerable amount of RF as well, right?
It's funny because the ARRL has this big checklist about what to do with computers, but almost the entire checklist is about what happens if the computer is creating interference with your receiver or transmitter.
Well, I'll give you an example, David. I've always wanted to use... Look at all this ham gear I've got here. I mean, I've got a great setup thanks to the folks at ICOM. I can't use it because there was so much RF coming out of everything else in here that I got about 20 dB of noise no matter where I go.
Key it up. Go ahead and key it up right while you're on the air and see what happens.
There's no antenna hooked up to it. We tried. I mean, remember at the brick house, we tried to set it up. So this
I remember when you were putting in that floor and you hit all your cables underneath the floor.
That's right.
It didn't work because now if you swing the camera around, you'll see cables everywhere.
I know. But there's even more under the floor, my friend. Even more. So this is my retirement plan, by the way, Patrick, because I'm going to get so lonely not having you to talk to. I'm taking all this with me. And David,
now that you've cut off your social media, you'll be forced to talk to humans.
This is the new Instagram for Leo right here. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if Patrick ever comes out to Tennessee, I want to hang with him because he knows a little bit about what I have beside me.
Oh, you're talking about the varmint gun?
Varmint guns and country ham.
You know what? People don't understand those things because, you know, you've heard of bump stocks.
Yeah.
You know what a bump stock is?
What?
It's a rubber band on your finger.
Oh. Well, that's pretty easy. So I don't want to get into that whole thing. I will let Patrick handle that. But what can we do? You said you wanted a computer that's not going to blue screen when you key your transmitter.
Right, because there's so much RF going to be floating around the ham shack.
Right.
That even Alexa goes nuts. I mean, if I key that microphone down, if I key it down, you can hear me talking through Alexa.
What kind of transmitter? How many watts you got there, dude?
Full legal limit, 1,500 watts.
Oh, okay, good. Do you have a big tower out back, or what do you got?
Well, not yet, but it's going up.
Your mast is going up.
So I had a little bit of a accident a while back, and most of my good stuff got gone. So
I heard that you had a fire. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Well, we're going to get you up on your feet. So what can he do?
So the biggest chance from nosing around, you will probably want to get a good case from a reputable manufacturer.
The case is going to insulate.
A case is a big part of it, right? Because part of the problem is there's several problems. One, you're dealing with a ton of RF. Two, the ideal thing would be if you could basically have an RF cage, like a Faraday cage, around the box and just run the cables out.
But the case practically is, though, if you seal it, right?
If you seal it,
should you put tin foil around the inside?
That might actually not be a bad idea. One of the things I've read about, because I was looking online in some of the ham forums, and that ARRL link we'll put in the show notes, where they basically talk about is making sure that the case is actually all the panels of the case are bonded. Make sure the ground is you know, one, you got a good ground. We talked about that in pre-show. You've got your house is well grounded. Make sure that the case is grounded. Make sure that the screws that ground the case are in place. Make sure that you bond all the panels, basically all six sides of the case are bonded to each other so that that actually, you know, does what it's supposed to be doing. There's one thing about most normal, like, clip-on. My understanding is most normal clip-on ferrite beads you would put on a power cable or maybe the mouse cable. Because it turns out pretty much every cable you plug into that and the connections can be an antenna for the RF that's coming off your transmitter. So that webpage gives you an idea. There's some super heavy-duty coils you can use for that. That's a kind of a step above a normal ferrite bead. But you're going to want to have to isolate the case, and they kind of walk you through like what you need to check, but you're basically going to need to isolate the case, all the cables, and any of the devices that plug into it. So you want to make sure you do as few exterior accessories as you can. You probably want to do Ethernet over Wi-Fi, and you're kind of going to have to step by step go through and isolate where the RF is coming into the machine.
You said you're already using chokes on your lines and things
I put chokes on everything.
Yeah. So it's the Magic 3, ferrites, filters, and shielding. Oh, my. So it really is. This ARRL page is actually surprisingly complete.
Yeah.
But what they say is, and this I know was your initial question, is what motherboard should I buy? And they said it changes. It's not just the motherboard. It's the cards you put in there.
Right.
You start using a different printer, all of a sudden the whole thing goes to hell. So it's very hard to say, here's a motherboard that's going to be well shielded. You know, they say ask your local hams. You also want to ask them if you're on the 2 meter band, make sure you ask them about that. If you're on a high frequency band, make sure you ask them about that, because a guy on 2 meters isn't going to know what kind of HF interference he's going to get. It's a fairly complicated matter. Have you watched Ham Nation? I bet you have.
Yes, I have. Matter of fact, I've got one of Heil's.
That's a Heil mic right there. Yeah, just like what we use here. So Bob and company are really good at talking about this. This actually would be a great question for them. So I'd encourage you to email the Ham Nation folks. That is our ham radio show that is a fantastic show and really deals with stuff like this, because anybody who watches Ham Nation on Twit is already a computer user, a techie, and interested in how they can make the coexistence between their transmitters and their
coexistence and their is a good word.
Yeah,
we got tech and ham all trying to get them together.
But amateur radio is the original tech. I mean, these go together like peanut butter and jelly. It's a natural.
Oh my! Don't even get me started on that.
Oh, I should mention peanut butter and jelly. So I have to say, I bet you anything in Amazon Echo is very poorly shielded. Obviously, it's FCC-B, so it has to be compatible. And work in a normal and consumer environment.
Just because it's not blasting a lot of RF out doesn't mean it's particularly well shielded to keep RF from coming in.
I think it's a speaker in it that's not real
probably
good.
I think you'll find also once you move your antenna out and far away, things will get better.
Right? I've got one antenna's 560 foot long.
Yeah.
It's like,
and is it right next to your ham shack right there?
No, it surrounds the house.
Oh, jeez, no wonder. You've built an inverse Faraday cage.
I was gonna say, I think you're gonna be building a Faraday cage around your PC.
Your whole house is transmitting. Okay, now I get the problem.
Yeah, technically yes it is. Because 160 meters is you multiply it well.
What you're talking about. Yeah.
160 meters is pretty long.
So you're mostly on the 40-meter band? Is that what you like to do, HF?
Well, I do them all. Yeah. 80 meters is for close in. 20 meters, I actually talked to that girl that was going across the ocean.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's neat. Hey, I'm really pleased to meet you, David. It's a great pleasure. I don't know how much help we are. You mentioned before the show we were talking about some of your spec. You wanted an i9, which is, I think, a 2600 socket.
Yeah.
You wanted NVMe. That's an M.2 PCIe.
You basically want to make sure everything.
I want a cake and eat it too kind of guy.
Yeah, but I think Patrick's right. It's going to be a lot easier for you to make a well-shielded case than figure out, because there's, about that M.2 card?
The problem is none of the components, nobody who's mass manufacturing components for consumer use, they're not really thinking, like, what happens if we put this next to a giant ham radio antenna?
Yeah.
So,
The components are being done military, but it's the main component, the motherboard that it all plugs into, is not being done.
Yeah,
I can find the shielded components, like the what do you call it, the NVMe, the little solid state drive.
Right.
It is 256 bit encrypted, blah blah blah, military spec stuff. But the actual thing it plugs into is not.
That's the problem.
I would say, like, go for the best case you can get. Class B cases are going to reject more noise or let less noise loose than Class A cases, as I understand. Because there's some people who are like, you should get one from a server room. And then the server guys are like, no, you want consumer ones. at some level, if you have that much RF going around, you may end up having to build or buy an external enclosure to just isolate that box and then, work really hard, short cable lengths and work really hard to make sure your cables for your mouse because that's the problem, right? If you shield the box, then you can't use wireless mice and keyboards.
Yeah.
It's going to be an experimental process. Get the best case you can get a case without Windows, and experiment with location and and make sure, like, all the panels inside of it are bonded. That's the things that people kept coming up and reiterating.
And this is where your best bet is hams, because they're the ones who are dealing with this, as opposed to, computer guys like us.
Yeah.
Because the hams are the ones dealing.
But you're both.
Well, I only play a ham on TV. I really, haven't got a lot of experience in this. I would talk to the Ham Nation guys. And that ARRL site is actually surprisingly good. ARRL.org/ what is it, computers?
They know a little
computer
bit about
computer single. It's really good. Yeah.
I try.
Yeah. Well, they're good. I like them. I'm a member, and I think it's worth at least checking out. But it sounds like you're going to have to talk to fellow hams for the best information.
I will. Yep. Okay. Patrick, hey. If you're ever out in Tennessee, give me a holler.
You got it, man.
I'll just stay here with my Richard Dover. Oh, look. He's looking at the screensavers. Look at that. That's the old show.
Aww. I still had hair.
Dave, great to talk to you. Thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
7-3, my friend. From Deer Lodge, Tennessee. What kind of gun was that?
They are 15.
Okay. it's a military assault rifle. Right?
No, it's not.
It's not. Okay.
Don't. Don't.
San Francisco Startup Reason, co-founded by Mike Chen and...
Let me do this. I got to do this because I was there.
Oh, no, this is the thing.
You're scared of... you said, I don't want to ever do...
I don't like being locked
an
up.
An escape room.
No.
So do you know what an escape room
is? Yeah.
So the idea...
Somebody locks you up, and you got to get out.
You can say...
He thinks this is fun.
You can say, help, let me out, please, and somebody, nice lady, will come and let you out.
So they say.
We thought it'd be really fun to take the team to San Francisco to a new escape room. They're actually Mike Chen, the founders, Mike Chen and Karina Bordas, come from startup world mm-hmm. and finance world, and they realized that this would be great for team bonding for startups. Sure. So they made a really exciting new startup themselves called Reason. It's an escape room in San Francisco, and one of the things they wanted to do, Mike's a maker. He loves right. making stuff. So they wanted to use all the latest technology like drones and VR and robotics in their escape room. I have to tell you, it was the most fun we've ever had. We had to be very careful in editing this. In fact, thank you, Anthony Nielsen, who really spent probably 2 months working on this. Because we had to show them and say, now, too many spoilers? And they said, yeah, don't show them this, because we don't want to spoil anything.
Right.
But as best we can, this is a look at our experience at San Francisco's Reason Future Tech Escape Room. Watch. We have assembled the smartest, finest minds at TWIT.
Well, anyway, whoever was available on Monday to escape from the nuclear reactor. We're at Reason, the escape room in San Francisco. It's a team-building exercise. You ready to build a team, Megan Maroney?
I am.
Jason?
Yeah, sure.
You're ready? Colleen? Jerry?
Yeah.
I don't think you're taking this seriously. You brought a little... GoPro with you? Let's meet the Reason crew, all right? You built a nuclear reactor here, and you're having trouble with a meltdown?
Yes, we do, and we really need your help, sir.
What's your name?
My name is Karina.
Hi, Karina.
Hi.
And you and Mike founded Reason?
Yes, yes, we did.
2 years ago?
Yep.
What is the point of this?
Well, it's a mix. So one of the things that we really want to focus on is education. Because nowadays, you know, there are a lot of technologies on the market. And even here in Silicon Valley, people know about virtual reality, 3D printing, drones. But you don't really have the opportunity to experiment with them. You know, you have to buy them. And they're still pretty expensive. So we wanted to build a venue where people can easily get access to them and see if they like it, see what the whole fuss is about, and also put it in a more engaging kind of experience.
I think the meltdown is happening now. Pull the rods! Okay. So, we're going to be using a lot of modern technology in the process.
Exactly.
But it's also about working together as a team.
Definitely. So it's definitely a team activity. And it's all about coordinating and problem solving. So it's less about the puzzle aspect. So you have to solve a puzzle really hard for 30 minutes. And more about working together and see how you can bring different skills to achieve the mission that you have.
Okay. So we don't have to be smart.
It helps. But if you work really well as a team, that's going to be even better.
Work as a team. Now, you know, you guys have never done this before, but here's our opportunity. What is the fastest? And we're going to do the nuclear reactor room, right? There's two of them. What's the other one?
The other one is crash site.
That's an alien land crash site.
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
That's for bigger groups.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
And how big can a nuclear reactor be?
So a nuclear reactor goes up to 15 players.
Well, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Two rooms.
Yeah.
So how big is the alien landing?
That one is even bigger. That can go to 20 plus. We can even have 25 people in there at the same time.
A company might bring a group in, you know, a team that works together, bring them in to help them kind of have some fun, but also to facilitate them working together in the future.
Yeah.
cool.
Exactly.
What's the fastest anybody has ever saved the nuclear reactor?
The fastest is 48 minutes.
48 minutes.
Today's mission is a pretty standard sci-fi scenario. Basically, we have a nuclear reactor that was sabotaged, and the meltdown sequence was initiated. So your mission today is to stop the meltdown from happening. Otherwise, and listen carefully here, you're not going to make it to dinner. Very high stakes.
But we've ordered sandwiches. Oh, no.
Yeah, so you really have to get out if you want to make it to that.
Yeah.
Cool. So a few things to help you in your mission. As you guys know, this is a team activity. So working together is the most important thing in there. So make sure you communicate as much as possible. You divide and conquer because you'll be able to work on multiple puzzles at the same time. You have unlimited hints, so feel free to ask for help.
The team that got out in 48 minutes, did they ask for any help?
They did not have any hints. Yeah.
Okay, well, there's a standard we're setting here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, you ready, guys? We're going to do it. All right, everybody. All right. Okay, okay, okay. I have very little confidence at this point. We're in here now. Let's just hit this button and see what happens. Nothing is happening.
These all smell. They have different smells. If you press the button, the smell comes out.
Seriously?
Apparently, I have to put this on. Oh, wow. This is, I can't see a thing. Press the colored button.
Sure.
Nothing. All right, we've used 11 minutes, kids. We got to make some progress. What the hell happened there?
What was that?
Is there anything that requires, like, a code to be entered?
No one's listening.
Is this a kaleidoscope? What is this? I mean, why would it be here? Why are we here?
How's it going today?
Terrible!
I think we're going to still try and do it ourselves.
What does SSMT mean to anybody? We're in deep trouble here.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh!
Simple match is up to here. So this one goes first.
Oh!
Yay!
Oh, we got a long way to go, kids.
Nothing's working.
Nothing's working! Come on, guys, there's an incoming video transmission. Oh, it's an HTC 5.
Oh, do you have the password?
How do you even get to that command?
We gotta 3D print something?
No.
You put in password.
That was all you. I just used my fingers to enter something.
Who's good at drones in here? Whoa, watch out, Jerry. We have 10 minutes and 50 seconds, boys and girls.
Yeah.
This is good. We're making progress. We might get out of here alive.
We might.
Oh, yes!
Yes!
Nice. The next one is the other one.
Yep. Give me the number. Done. Override terminal. Here we go.
10 seconds. Yellow. Blue.
Okay.
White.
To restart the reactor.
There it is. It's going to blow. Game over. Game over, man.
3, 2, 1.
Oh! We were so close.
No.
What did we get wrong, Karina? It worked!
Oh, my God.
That was awesome. Oh, my gosh. I'm still sweating. That was so much fun, Mike.
I'm glad you had a good time. Thank you for coming.
Oh, I'm so glad we did this. We will not be a team after this. We hate each other. But, no, it was really fun. We didn't survive. I was maybe a little cocky when I said we'd get out in under 48 minutes. We barely made it, and that was with considerable help from Karina. But well, we didn't make it. We got out after it exploded.
We call that a narrow escape. So usually what happens is the closer you get to the end, the faster, the more productive your team becomes.
Yeah, that was true, right? We suddenly kind of clicked. I feel like I'm like Tom Cruise and the fireball from the reactor is following me down as we run out the hall, right? We were that close. It exploded, but we made it out. So how did we do?
So I think it's definitely a slower start. So you guys progressively became, I think you guys adapted to the game.
Yeah.
And I would say you guys, as the game progressed, you guys work a lot faster. I think perhaps you guys were getting more used to the environment. I'm also used to the way things are set up.
Yeah.
And also you guys were, I think, communicating a lot more near the second half versus in the beginning.
And we were overconfident because we didn't ask for clues for about an hour. And finally, Karina said, you better ask for some help. She actually came in the room and said, can I help you?
That is true. The game is actually designed benchmark for around 10 players, and you guys actually attempted it with only 5.
So
just a virtue of you guys getting narrow escape with five players. I think that is a great accomplishment.
I feel pretty good. I feel like, and I agree with you, we got better as time went by. Which one do people have the most trouble with?
So what we see is really around the overall structure of organizing the different elements
working.
And how you optimize your resources, right?
Right.
And that, I think, is, for example, when you get on the reactor control panel and you have just all these things that you have to really reset, and how do you allocate which team member on which aspect of the experience, that's really the hardest part. The individual challenges themselves, I don't think either of them are particularly difficult.
You're wrong. Karina is a devil. She is a good puzzle designer. You get all the physical stuff. What's neat is you're using a lot of technology. There's a drone. There's a 3D printer. There's a virtual reality experience. So you really are getting a lot of interesting technologies in there.
Absolutely. And around the drone part, so we find that everybody's like really excited about drones.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to have a good drone experience.
Awesome.
And so, you know, through, you know, the beginner's reactor, once you uncover the drone part of the game, we actually, you know, help. We train a new pilot every game.
Yeah.
And
Karina
I think there were no casualties today.
Nobody died.
No fatalities.
It happens to be a drone that... Look, I've crashed every drone I've ever owned. I didn't crash that one, so it's a good drone.
It's a good drone.
Mike, this is really fun. Thank you very much for inviting us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Leo.
I think we'll be actually closer to the team because of it. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Appreciate
so much.
It. The code, just so you know, I don't think this spoils anything. The code is 4815162342. Just give it to yourself. It was actually so much fun. We literally opened that door seconds after the thing exploded. You saw it.
Seconds after.
Seconds. Thanks very much, not only to Mike and Karina for giving us a chance to do it, but Anthony Nielsen, who did the edit on this and did a great job. Well done, Anthony. He sent it to Mike because he wanted to make sure we didn't spoil anything. And Mike actually took it, opened it in iMovie, and made a few extra cuts. So thank you, Mike. Assistant editing. You get an assist on the edit on that one.
Executive producer.
Yeah. The Reason Escape Room in San Francisco. Highly recommend it. A lot of fun. Time now for the mailbag. And I think we have two very small people who also shot it backwards.
It's not on purpose. Read the bag.
Oh. Wait a minute, there's something in the box?
Read the back.
Read the back. It's an escape mailbox. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. It's a mailbox. Oh, I know now. We know it's a mail. Oh, look. Just for you, Patrick. We've got some delicious fresh noodles sealed in styrofoam. And
gourmet smoked whole oysters.
I think those have been here in the mailbox since the show began 3.5 years ago.
Is that what that flash of red the back of the box was? See if there's a eat-by date on
these. He's going to eat them. You're going to eat those?
What's I can do? Die?
No. Just get really sick. You'll wish you were dead. How about that? Take one
Maybe
of
later.
These, young whippersnapper.
Suddenly I'm a whippersnapper.
Question number one is Patrick's.
Neil's
video, right?
As video, I think. Do we have Neil's video?
Hi, Lou. My name's Neil. I am an avid watcher of the screensavers. Quick question for you. I have an older Windows 7 HP Pavilion laptop, about 4 gigs of RAM, 500 gigabyte hard drive. I want to turn it into a Chromebook. I was wondering what is the best way and how to do that.
Technically, Chrome OS, or the actual Chrome OS that you buy pre-installed on, whether it's Google or Asus or Lenovo or Dell or whoever's manufacturing it, it is a closed, proprietary, only to manufacturing operating system. However, it is based on the Chromium OS, and if you go to a company... Which is open source. And if you go to neverware.com...
And by the way, we've tried many times to get this to work.
Really?
It works, but it works on a limited subset of all PCs. So it's worth it. It's free. You download it and see. I think a lot of schools use this because they want to have Chromebooks, but they don't want to buy new hardware.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I will say it's amazing how many schools use Chrome-based devices, period. And actually, I know some people who run offices in security companies where they use Chrome operating system because they can lock it down and because it's so secure compared to, say, Windows.
Yeah.
Which I love and use Windows every day, but sometimes you just don't want to maintain.
So I haven't tried to install Cloud Ready in about a year, so it might be, you know, I'm sure it's gotten better. It's based on, as you said, the open source Chromium OS. Try it, and if it works on your hardware, you've got a Chromebook or a Chromebox.
And if it doesn't, Ubuntu.
Honestly, I think Linux these days has gotten so good.
Yeah.
It's also a good choice. And you go out and get a Ubuntu, or my favorite, which is based on Arch. It's called Entergos. And it'll install on almost any PC hardware out there. Much larger subset of hardware than the Chromium stuff.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. Question two from Mike. Hi, new screensavers. Having trouble figuring out how to record over-the-air TV shows without having to pay for a subscription. I would think all I need is some unit with a built-in hard drive that the coax goes through on the way to the television, but I can't find any such thing. I've looked at TiVo's. I see. When he talks about subscription, he means the subscription for the channel guide. TiVo requires you to pay either a yearly or a lifetime subscription, which I've done on my TiVo's. It seems much more complicated than it should be. I would appreciate any help you can provide.
It's one of those things that looks so incredible, and we were
should
laughing.
Be easy.
It should
but
be easy, right?
Not as easy as he described, but easy.
Well, and Robert and I have talked about this on AVXL, where people are like, I don't understand. Well, it sounds easy, right? But the actual one, it's alarming how difficult it is just to get scheduling data or to pay for it or to have it be accurate. So Silicon Dust, who started out doing really, really amazing cable card-ready devices that would allow you to capture video, they actually do a bunch of over-the-air tuners now. And what's really, really interesting about them is most over-the-air tuners that are where it's basically a DVR, digital video recorder that does over-the-air, free over-the-air television, most of them, when you look at the ratings on Amazon, are abysmal, like 2.5-star, 3-star. What's crazy about this is there's
people like
the
HD Home Run, though.
There's 1,939 customer reviews on the Silicon Dust HD Home Run, so that's an average of 4 out of 5 stars, which is pretty
good.
And
I would read the reviews for catches and difficulties.
Yes, right? But I mean, when you're talking about a fake spot review of A on the, because I've been looking at a lot
good.
Of, yeah, so they got a fake spot review of A.
Fake spot is, what is that? I never heard of that.
You never heard of fake spot?
No.
Fake spot has an algorithm, and they look at fake spot, somebody got ticked off, right? Because there are so many companies that are gaming the reviews Amazon.
You don't know who to trust.
You don't know
Amazon.
Who to trust. So their idea is, well, we're going to look for, you know, certain accounts tend to give stuff 5 stars over and over again, or they use the same, or the language pops up the same, or it's odd that this set of... So what they do is they have an algorithm that looks at it and tries to give you an idea of how legit those reviews are.
So the legit reviews gave it an A, which
the legit reviews gave it an A.
Get.
Yeah, so that's it's. But Silicon
what
Dust.
What about the Channel Master? You've heard of this. This is also an OTA DVR.
Channel Masters does really, really well.
I don't know if they have a subscription. I feel like they don't, but I might be wrong on that one. You do have the problem is you have to get that information, the channel guide information, somewhere because it is continually updated. It changes all the time. And it used to be something TV Guide did, but they didn't do it for free.
Right.
And so that's why TiVo charges. I don't think it's as expensive as TiVo charges. Plex, I think, also has a channel guide. I'm not really up on this because I stupidly probably bought a lifetime subscription for not one, not two, but 3 different TiVos.
Now that TiVo's changing their business model, is that...
I don't know. Life of what? I don't know. Life of a mayfly, perhaps. Not...
Well, have you gotten more than 3 years out of it?
I have.
That was the tipping point.
So what happens, I got one for myself, for my office, and Lisa has been using the Xfinity X1.
Right.
She came in my office and said, why have you been holding out on me? She said, why am I using this crappy TiVo X1, or Xfinity X1? You clearly have a better solution, so I had to get her one. And then once she had one in her gym, then we had to get one for the living room, so I have 3. So far, you know, it's still working. TiVo seems to be around. They were purchased, but they seem to be around. The over-the-air is the best deal in television.
Yeah.
It's that DVR part that's a problem.
Yeah, no, Channel Master's good. Silicon Dust seems to be doing good work.
People love both of those companies.
Yeah.
I always hear that when I mention this. The chat room always pipe in. Channel Master. Silicon Dust. We love them.
They make people happy.
Yes.
Because their stuff works.
All right. Well, thank you both for your questions. Thank you, Patrick, for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
Tech Thing. I keep wanting to talk Tech Zilla. Tech Thing.
TechThing.com, TechThing.com, or AVEXCEL.com.
That's the one you do with Robert Heron. Heron. It's all about video and audio. And
do TechThing every week, which is our weekly. We answer viewer questions.
That's
we review
with
products.
With Shannon Morris. So two great places to find Patrick. I wanted Patrick to be here for moral support because I have to end this show with sad news, and I know Patrick already knows. Yeah. But this happens at the end of every year. We kind of look at the finances of TWiT and how we've been doing, the shows that are carrying their weight and shows that aren't carrying their weight. And it has nothing to do with whether we love a show. It really has everything to do with whether the audience loves a show. And as much as we really like, we've been doing the new Screensavers for 3.5 years, as much as we really like it, it's a very expensive show to do. Basically, it's a network television show on a podcaster's budget. And it has not developed the audience we'd hoped, not enough of an audience to keep it going. So this is the last episode, and you were on it, just as you were on the first episode of the new Screensavers 3.5 years ago.
Some sort of poetic circle of life thing going on there.
Yeah, just as
and
you were
on the chat room explodes.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel bad. I hate to do this, but as you well know, this is we don't have investors. We are basically bootstrapped. We run on the money we make. And I can't afford to do a show that doesn't make money, period. And so I'm afraid we're going to have to cancel this. We're also canceling This Week in Law with Denise Howell and I talked about this, and we decided to do that. And Know How. All three shows will end at the end of the year. There is a best of episode for this show and all of them next week. And I think Denise is going to continue through till January 11th. There's a blog post on the new Screensaver, or TWiT website, twit.tv, and on my website, leolaporte.com, if you want to read the deets. But I'm sad to say this is the last one. And, boy, this was a sad one to end on. What a great show this has been. But it's a lot of work. Jerry Wagley, Anthony
Jerry
Nielsen.
Jerry and Anthony are amazing.
Have done such a great job. Colleen as well. Colleen Goldstein and, of course, our technical director today, Alex Gumpel, for most of our shows, our studio engineer, John Salinina. They work very hard. It's a lot of work to make this show. We had a good audience. It wasn't that we didn't have a good audience, but we just didn't have enough of an audience to pay for it, frankly. And you know, that's just the way it is in the world. If you can't afford to do it, you can't do it.
True.
Unless somebody... Now, it's not too late for somebody to come along and give us a few million dollars to keep the show going.
Yes, because you're so good at sharing with the advice of venture capital people.
I don't like
that. Janine is more nudity and some car crashes.
You remember that, don't you? That's why TWiT is what it is. I got tired of people telling me we had to do more cleavage. This is not a way to keep a show alive. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, right. No, my last 18 months at the original Screensavers was a running battle to keep technology on the premier technology show on the technology network.
Yeah, they didn't want to do technology. That wasn't...
Football stars.
Yeah.
Single lowest week in the history of the show.
I know you understand as a podcaster, but also as my longtime friend and co-host on the Screensavers. It is sad to end it, but I think we ended on a high note.
Yeah.
It was a great episode. And next week, the best of 2018.
I got to be a space ranger.
Was that fun?
Yes.
Yeah? You want to do that again?
Yes.
Did you get nauseous at all?
No.
See, that's the big deal. I can't do these things.
This one isn't bad.
This is much better, I think, all that frame rate. Yeah,
it's nice when you don't want to vomit in the headset.
it
makes the whole gaming experience so much better.
Always a good thing. So thank you all. Thank you to my amazing team that's worked so hard to make this show. It is a lot of work to make a show like this. It's not an easy thing to do, and you've worked so hard. It isn't your failure by any means. It's just the way it is in life. Thank you for your patronage and your support. We do have a new show coming next year. We'll have more details about that in the future. But for now, for the last time, thanks for being here on the new Screensavers. Bye-bye.